You are listening to Bucks in the Basement live on the Podbean app. My name is Chris. Craig is about to join me. If you want to get on, you want to talk some Bucks baseball or what's going on in Major League Baseball or how your family is driving you nuts and you switched from beer to rum. That's what I just did. Dinner was rough tonight. This quarantine's killing me. Bucks in the Basement, live on the Podbean app, found everywhere podcasts can be found, and always at bucksinthebasement.com. Let's go. Craig, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing better than I was last time we talked. I don't know why. I'm just getting used to this. It's becoming my my new state of like normalcy, where I don't leave the house for days at a time. I shower every other day, hopefully, and I simulate baseball games when the Twitch app is actually working, which it was not today.
Oh yeah, I saw you trying to do that today.
So my fake baseball team didn't get to play today, so they're going to play a fake doubleheader tomorrow.
Good for you. I'm running simulations on my end as well.
Oh, I know you are, brother.
Yeah, I mean, I'm having a good time doing it. I'm going to tell you this, though. I think we're at different stages here during this entire thing. I'd love to hear where people are at. Like, if you call in tonight, I want to know how many rolls of toilet paper you have in the house. That's the first question. If you call in tonight, and you can use a little app on there that says guest call in. There's like little slots up there. You click on one of them, you call in, and you can join the show. What's weird is that I know I'm looking on one of my other phones. The first spot looks like it's empty, but Craig's in that one. So just pick one of the ones from the right end of the thing. I don't know why it's not showing, but if you can't get in on one, try another one. There's open lines everywhere. We'll connect you. We'll talk to you. I want to know, how much toilet paper do you have on you, first of all? How much alcohol do you have on you? Because that's got to be a concern as well. And has your drinking increased in any way during this? I feel like the answer to the third one is yes for everybody. I also feel like we're at like different stages here, bud, because like you're at the I've accepted it. That's where I was last time. I accepted it. Now I'm just angry. I'm just PO'd at the world. I want to go out and punch people for walking around in groups because they're putting me at risk. I'm really ticked off. Gary Morgan is joining us on the line right off the bat. He writes for Inside Bucks Basement. Craig, say hello to Gary.
What's going on, brother? Long time no talk.
What's up?
We probably were texting about 2 seconds ago. So,
yeah, we just talked yesterday. And I think I might talk to you more than my wife, actually.
That's what keeps us sane. That's what's keeping us sane right now, talking to each other.
It is. We talked yesterday about our fake baseball games. I think for half an hour.
Listen, guys, I've actually increased the amount of podcasts that the Broadcast Basement On Demand Radio Network does. I'm actually working more now, so I have more of an excuse to hang out in the basement. I can't help it. I mean, like, seriously, like they're all driving me absolutely insane. Like, it's like I'm throwing myself into work I don't even need to do just to get away from them all. But the problem is that my work is actually sitting at a bar, and tonight I've poured myself the Kraken Black Spiced Rum. Congrats to them. They get a free plug on Bucks in the Basement because I decided that the beers were getting a little gassy and every once in a while you got to switch it up. And as I went through all the Johnny Walker Black, and I'm afraid to go stand in line right now with the unwashed masses to get more, and I haven't gotten myself around to ordering things online. We're just emptying out what's underneath the bar in the liquor cabinet. We went with the Kraken tonight on the rocks.
I got a 2-time IPA, so.
Good for you.
I'm enjoying myself.
Good for you.
It's good stuff.
What do you think, since you're on the line with us, Gary, what do you think about this agreement between Major League Baseball and the Players Association, which I find it's interesting because there's all these little tiers and there's all these little spots where if we start on this day, this happens. If the stoppage goes this long, this happens. But I find it very interesting that it seems like the owners have taken advantage of the situation and likely will try out, because they're going to tell everybody, hey, it's a shortened season. Why don't we add extra playoff teams, which is something they wanted to do as a way to kind of introduce it to people. And that way, maybe they can keep it longer, because they're going to say, this is how we're making up for revenue this year. But I wouldn't be surprised if they aren't using this to keep this in going forward.
See, it's funny that people don't automatically assume that's going to happen, because it's you know, any kind of big operation, business, government, whatever, they're all going to take advantage of a crisis. I mean, even the government has done that. They take advantage of a crisis to get things worked in. I mean, why would you expect a conglomerate of owners to do anything different? So, I mean, I'm not caught off guard at all.
Yeah, and the other thing that I find interesting about it is whether or not Rob Manfred will use this, depending on how far it goes, you could see a situation where he's been itching for this idea of this extra inning rule where we start a batter on second base. You could see them say, well, we're going to do a lot of doubleheaders. And during those doubleheaders, this rule will be in effect in the hopes that they could just introduce it because they want to get these things in. And when people are sitting back saying, well, it's understandable, it's a half season. Well, I'll accept it because it's a half season. And then next year when it shows up in 2021, they're going to be like, whoa, because I think if it shows up, if anything shows up this year, they're going to try to make it stick.
I was just going to say the whole thing is this whole thing is a way for him to get the stuff that he was trying to institute before pushed into place. I mean, he's taking advantage of a situation. It's absolutely driving me nuts. I just listened to a Pipeline podcast when I went for a run this afternoon. And it was discussing about, you know, shortening the draft to possibly five rounds, and then lowering the amount that a team has to give to the free agents afterwards. Before, there was like a minimum of like 125,000. That's been lowered to 20,000. So you're gonna draft five rounds of players, and then you're gonna basically pick other players up for pennies on the dollar.
Well, here's the interesting thing about it, because Craig, I was looking at that and think about it on the other side. What they've essentially done is they've gotten in writing something they've been doing for years with the draft, because what you do is you get these guys early on who have leverage. If you're drafted in the early rounds, you have leverage. Those guys are still going to get paid. They're getting deferred though. So they're going to get something like, you know, the number one guy in the draft is probably going to end up, you know, getting, you know, $8 million, something ridiculous. He's going to get paid about $200,000 for the first year, and the other $4 million in year two and $4 million in year three. He'll eventually get all of his money for year one, but they're deferring it back. The problem is, or what they're actually doing here is that, like, think about a high school or a college senior. College seniors have like no leverage, and a lot of them have been signing for $10,000 in like the rounds like 10 through 20. And because they can't really argue about it, and somebody's picking them up and they just want to get on a team, and they're used as filler. Those are the guys that what they're doing is they're saying, well, it's up to $20,000, but it really was already kind of like this artificial cap. It's almost like they put that in there now so that the players that don't have any leverage, they can't turn around later and complain, because now they can sit there and say, no, it's been capped to $20,000. It's almost like they're fixing some loopholes before anybody can come after them later on down the line for things that they've been doing for the last couple of years in the draft, but it just hasn't been written down on paper.
See, I think it's part of a bigger picture for them, because what do the owners want more than anything is an international draft. I think it's an evening of the playing field across the board for domestic players as well, so that there's less of an argument point against it.
That could be one of the reasons. It's really obvious that what they're doing is they took advantage of the fact that Major League Baseball players were nervous they weren't going to get paid and that the free agents weren't going to become free agents. And so the Players Association was like, can Mookie Betts please be a free agent? They're like, yeah, sure, just sell out these kids that aren't even in your union yet. And to be honest with you, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody's upset about them doing that, but I was once a union president, okay, for a municipality, and I negotiated two union contracts in my career. And one of them, there was a huge sticking point. And to get all these people that have been getting paid in this center that I was working in, to get them all paid the money that they were supposed to get paid, I finally conceded that people that got hired after the signing of the deal would have A, B, and C be their things. I gave up stuff for people that had yet to join because I was taking care of the people that were there. And all the people there ratified it 100%. It was 100% vote because it took care of all of those people. It's what they wanted. And then the government agency that I was negotiating with basically made it so anybody else that took a job from that point forward had a different set of rules that was more in their favor. And that's really what Major League Baseball did here. They took advantage of a situation like anybody else would in that situation. I mean, like you said, that's something that people have been doing for throughout all of history. And what they did was that they leveraged people that didn't matter because they're not paying union dues and they're not even in there yet. And they got what they wanted for the future and gave the current players the fact that even if we don't play a season this year, Mookie Betts gets to be a free agent, and those guys are still going to be able to go out and make their money.
And they're still going to make their money.
NFLPA just did it too.
Right.
Yeah, but they're still, that's the part is that those guys are still going to get paid no matter what. But there's the guys, say, round 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 that would have been getting somewhere of, I mean, I've seen like, the, you know, the paying over the slot and getting like, you know, say 200 grand or somebody that's, you know, getting paid over this and getting, you know, 125 grand in those slots. Those guys are going to get paid even less now.
Right.
I mean, that's what it boils down to.
But who does it affect this year? I mean, think about who it affects this year, because that's what they've got set up for this season. So who does it affect this year? Because if you're a college senior, you don't have a choice. You're going into the draft. Okay. Even if for some reason the NCAA decides to give you another year of eligibility, then you're still like what a junior would be, and you're going to lose you're still going to be in the same boat when you go into the draft next year. So essentially, like, a high school player can sit there and say, I'm going to go play for a year in a JUCO college and let them work all this stuff out, and then I'll come out in the real draft a year from now. And I think you'll see some guys do that. You're going to see a few guys sit there and say, unless they call me up as a high school player and give me what I think I would have gotten, and I'm not getting discounted because of what's going on this year, then I'm going to go play for the local junior college for a year, because they're going to know I'm there, and they're just going to come back around in 2021 during the draft, right?
Yeah. And they're in a really unique situation too, because the new CBA coming up times out so well for them to start playing right now, building up whatever they can get the players to agree to at the moment, take advantage fully of the situation, and then come back hard for the 2022 season, because the players are, and the owners for that matter, are not going to have a stomach to stop on purpose when they just were forced to stop for something beyond their control.
Right, exactly. So, Gary, how are you hanging in? First of all, how much toilet paper do you have?
I'd be lying if I told you I counted, but I think I have a little over a dozen.
Dozen rolls of toilet paper. And what about the booze situation?
Yeah, that's always fine.
Good for you.
That's always fine.
Good for you. And are you drinking more while you're under quarantine?
I wouldn't say more. No, maybe more concentrated.
Yeah,
I'm drinking better stuff.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. I'm living the life, but I mean, I mean, right now my liver's like, what did we do? Go back to college? You do realize I'm 43 years old. That's the conversation my liver's been having. Like, when did we go back to college? Does that mean we get to have sex with college girls again? And I'm like, no.
The real thing for me with the toilet paper that I don't understand is how much people plan on going. Because, I mean, we're rationing food. I don't understand where you think it's all coming from, that you need that much of it.
It's not even...
I'm shocked.
I got to jump in here for a second, guys. This is the point I was going to make next. And Eric Minshall, he was one of our guests last week. He's in the chat room. And he nailed it.
I see what he wrote.
He goes, Manfred's getting his way. And this is what I was going to go with. This is going to effectively kill the 42 minor league teams he's trying to kill off. I mean, that was going to be my next point, is he's going to make people comfortable with less rounds, where it's like, you know what? This is okay. This is nice. This is comfortable. This is what we're used to. And then they can just basically say, well, we had to do this for a couple years because of, you know, everything that was going on. So it's not really going to be able to sustain all these teams. So sorry, State College Spike. Sorry, Erie Seawolves. Sorry, Missoula Paddleheads, whoever it would be. You're not going to have a team anymore.
Is that an actual team, the Missoula Paddleheads? I want to know that.
What's really funny about Manfred to me is, he's savvy enough to have the business acumen to go after them and do things the way he's doing them, but he's not savvy enough with the marketing side of things to say this stuff publicly and not have the public have outcry about it.
No, he's not very good at passing. He's not very good at passing it through people to get them to kind of jump on board with what he's doing. And the problem is, because I think baseball fans have all started to realize that Rob Manfred hates baseball. Like, he's a businessman who really isn't a baseball fan. And that's what it kind of feels like to me. Like, he's just not, he doesn't really care about baseball. He's there to make money, and the owners like him because they like making money. But we've had commissioners in the past that actually like the game. I get the impression this man would rather watch anything but the game of baseball. Like, he's not interested in it. He doesn't really care about the history of it. And he doesn't really care if he ruins anything in it, as long as he can sit down at the end of the year and say, bottom line, you made more. And that, I think that's what he's trying to do.
Sounds a lot like Roger Goodell.
Right. That's exactly what we've got. We got the Roger Goodell of Major League Baseball right here. Gary, we're getting quite a delay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you go so I can give Craig a hard time. And I appreciate you checking in with us.
How about it?
All right. That's Gary Morgan.
Thanks a lot, brother.
Inside Bucks Baseball joining us here on the live podcast. And my friend, how's the simulated games going? Like, where are you at right now in the season, and how are the Buccos doing?
Well, the first thing I wanted to say was, is I heard you ask if the Missoula Paddleheads is an actual organization.
Yes.
And yes, it is.
Okay.
And it's a rebrand. It's a rebrand. They just put money into the rebrand, just like the Erie Seawolves just put state-funded money into fixing their stadium, and they're going to be shut down. But I'll get off my minor league soapbox. You know how much I love the minor league teams.
I know you don't.
But I just had to put that in there for a second. The Pirates in my simulated fake baseball
are
doing terrible.
What's the record?
0-3.
Oh.
0-3. Luckily, that rained out today by Twitch. So hopefully, you know, they can rest up and do better tomorrow. But they have been outscored. I believe it's like 9 runs to 26 runs. I mean, our pitchers are just getting absolutely mauled.
Are you talking during the Twitch broadcast? Like, do you have a headset on? Are you doing any commentary?
I got my headset. I'm talking. The first game I did, the initial game, I did like the full broadcast. And dude, that thing lasted like, it said 45 minutes, but it lasts like an hour and a half. I mean, I didn't know what the hell to talk about. So I tried like that retro mode.
Right.
And it lasts 30 minutes every single time, like no matter what. So I basically decided that for the maybe some of the special games, or when I want to lock myself in the kids' playroom where the PlayStation's at for a little bit longer, I'll do the hour and a half one. But for the most part, I mean, I'm working right now. I'm working from home. I got a third grader who I'm teaching at this point in time. Thank God the seventh grader is pretty. I'm not the third grade. The third grader is not smart, but she's smart. She can get her stuff done. She's helping out.
No,
she's
that's doing what I heard. I heard you just call your third grader stupid. That's what I heard. It was on the podcast.
Well, here's the thing: is the third grader is kind of like me when growing up, like just hated doing homework.
Right.
And he basically looks at me and goes, this would be so much easier if I was just in school right now and my teacher was telling me to do it. And I was like, man, you're smart. He is smart. Because he's just like, basically like, dad, you can't teach me this stuff. And I'm like, dude, I can't teach. I mean, I don't know if I could teach kindergarten. Like, so luckily I have the seventh grader coming in. She's my teacher's assistant. And I just send her over there and say, help your brother out a little bit. It's rough, man.
When you're looking at the simulations right now, has anything stood out with you with the players? Like, is somebody like tearing it up or doing so bad? You're like, oh, this is, yeah, I know it's three games in, but like, what did it look like with the players on the Pirates? What's your lineup? That's what I want to know. What's your lineup that you set?
Well, I did have to, the way that it was set up, I did have to put, Neveroskis on waivers, which is, I was thinking that something that might happen to begin with, in order to bring Derek Holland up, because it had him in AAA on the show. The other parts that I had to do is I had to, I took on a third catcher. I brought up, I kept John Ryan Murphy as one of the third catchers. Of course, he hasn't played yet. I mean, they've been putting Stallings in this entire time. I was talking about whether I should take control of it a little bit more.
Right.
Make some managerial decisions. But I mean, I'm the GM right now. So
see, I think it, like when I do my simulations, when I'm looking at different things, I always say I'm going to be the manager at least. Because I think these video games sometimes are just way off. Like I noticed on MLB The Show, Franmil Reyes. Now here's a perfect example. Here's a guy who is an outfielder who does not hit the way that the Padres expect him to, and has to fight for time for two straight years and doesn't consistently get out on the field for the San Diego Padres. And now when you look at MLB The Show, he bats fourth in the order every day for the Cleveland Indians. And I'm like, was he really going to be that? Is that really like he hits higher in the lineup than Jose Ramirez on the game. And I'm like, well, that's probably not real. Like, that's not how it really is going to go. Like, I can't see Terry Francona making that decision, but MLB The Show did. So, I mean, like, I think it's fair for you to set the lineup and set your rotation.
Yeah, I took it that far. Like, I definitely moved some guys around a little bit. I had to take Jameson Tai on because he's injured and put him down in AAA to kind of hold him down there. To tell you the truth, the two best players on the team right now as it sits are Kevin Newman, who you know I love, so I'm happy about that, and Guillermo Heredia, because they started out in the American League, so there's like the little DH spot, or I put him in versus a left-handed pitcher, and they had a left-handed pitcher. I fix around with all of that.
Right.
But those are pretty much, and Colin Moran's tearing it up.
Interesting.
So that's probably upsetting people
in the
right
simulated
now,
season I'm running, Colin Moran is tearing it up as well. So wouldn't it be great if Colin Moran was actually going to really tear it up? Wouldn't that be amazing?
That would actually be really good.
That'd be a good thing for the Pirates if Colin Moran could start tearing it up finally.
Well, the bad part is I'm about to drop Jose Osuna because it makes him like the worst player in the world on this game. And I'm playing him like at the DH spot. I'm switching him and Bell like for these first three games, like in between the DH and stuff. And man, this game just does not like Jose Osuna like whatsoever. And it hates the Pirates pitchers.
Right.
The Pirates pitchers. I mean, like I said, we've scored 9 runs and we've given up 26.
See, I'm gonna dispute
games.
That it hates the Pirates pitchers because first of all, it gives Chris Archer better than what I think he is. I mean, I know that it's only a 77 overall, but it gives him better than I think he is. I think his short's Joe Musgrove, but I took Musgrove and went head to head with my son, who thinks he's a video gaming god. And I destroyed him in 3 straight games. I played the Pirates against whatever team he wanted to play. And he's taking like all the best teams to play me. And I just sat him down all 3 times. Now, some of that is because his father has superior video game skill that he won't admit. But I mean, that kid almost threw the controller against the wall, which would have cost him $60 when his dad made him buy a new one. Like, that's how upset he got. So you can make that lineup work. You just need the skills of a Chris Lanuti back there on the controls. That's all I'm saying, my friend.
Yeah, but the bad part is, I mean, here's my thing. Joe Musgrove, he started the first, I put him in the first game, and he was actually the best pitcher. Mm-hmm. Chris Archer didn't do bad, and then Trevor Williams just got absolutely lit up in this last game that I played yesterday.
Yeah, he looks terrible. I looked at his rankings, I looked at his numbers, they don't think he's any good. And they're going off of what he did last year, and they don't think he's going to do a bounce back. But then he didn't do very well in spring training either. Like, we've talked about this because we play fantasy sports. And you're in my fantasy baseball league, and it sucks because that's screwed up too now after we had just a great offseason and everybody's ready to play, and we can't do it. But we both have talked about Trevor Williams at length because of fantasy, and I keep thinking, like, he could be a bounce-back guy. I think you actually released him because you lost faith in him, which I find funny. As we end the show here, I want to tell an interesting story about you. So Craig gave Trevor Williams a hard time on Twitter. And Trevor, did he block you or did he just yell at you?
Why are you bringing this back up?
He blocked you, right?
Why are you bringing this back
Trevor
up,
Trevor Williams
brother?
Blocked him.
I still can't see it. I still can't see his damn tweets.
I bought a Project
34 shirt, tweeted it to Project 34 and told him, tell Trevor I'm sorry. I'm not like a jerk. I'm not one of these like trolls or whatever out there. So I wear my Project 34 shirt around because Trevor Williams is actually a good dude.
And he hates
but
you.
But he still has me blocked.
He hates you. Hey, what did you write? Like something like he got blown up? Like did you tag him in the actual tweet? Is that what you did?
Oh yeah,
He rips on Trevor Williams. To Trevor Williams. He gets blocked by Williams. He buys a shirt. He still won't unblock him. And so then here's what Craig does. Craig must have gotten frustrated. And when it came time to release players off his 40-man roster, even though he could have retained Williams without any penalty in this fantasy league, he released him into the free agent pool. And my daughter picked him up because she has a team in that league. Surprisingly, my 14-year-old daughter's made the playoffs the last 3 years in this dynasty league. She's very good at stats. My dad helped her the first year, but she really has caught on with this whole thing. That's just how a child's mind works. But She grabbed him up right away. And I just think it's hysterical that, like, you went from being like the greatest Trevor Williams lover to the fact that you started off with a fantasy baseball team that you inherited because you took over somebody else's team. And Williams happened to be on the team and you like Williams. You think he's a cool dude. And then within the span of a month, you got blocked on Twitter by him and then overreacted and released him into the wild and he got picked up by another team. That's my favorite story of the offseason. And this is what we have to dwell on now because there's no baseball, buddy. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, so we're just going to bring this story back up again. I mean, it's just, to tell you the truth, I was a newbie to your league and I was just like, I was stressed out and I was
blocked.
And I was like, who should I drop? And so I was like flipping through the people and I'm like, oh, I can drop him and then maybe I can, you know, draft him or pick him back up.
You drafted him out of spite. You drafted him out of spite because he blocked you on Twitter.
Well, here's
this is the most childish thing ever. We've got this Pirates podcast that's quickly growing into one of the bigger podcasts in the Pittsburgh area. We've got numbers that continue to go up and up and up. I know the live thing doesn't show that because most people don't want to listen to the podcast live. They wait until they get the recording. And you go and insult one of the players. Like, does he know you're with Bucks in the Basement? Like, if we get blacklisted, I'm going to blame you.
Well, and here's the bad part is what he should blame is me being an idiot with technology, where I was just basically trying to do what I thought was my job when I was over at Sports Illustrated, which I ended up having that job, quote unquote job, for like another 5 days until they shut us down. And when you follow somebody, it like automatically, when you're typing their name and stuff, it just puts their name straight into the thing. And so it just automatically tags him. And I was just basically saying, man, not looking good for Trevor Williams. His ERA is 36 after his first two innings of a start. Just to call the game a little bit and show everybody what's going on. That's, you know, and it ends up tagging him, and within a day, I am blocked. By one of my favorite players on the Pirates, like by one of my favorite players. And like I said, I'm a good guy, so I went bought his shirt.
You bought his shirt.
Everybody out there, go support Project 34. It's a good cause. Yeah. He has diggers in the desert. He's a good dude. He is. Trevor Williams is a real good guy.
Yeah, he's a really good guy. He just hates you.
He's not going to listen to this, and he's not going to unblock me.
I'm going to send him a copy. I'm sending him a copy right now. I'm going to tag him and send him a copy from my account. That's what my plan is. This has been Bucks in the Basement. My friend, I'll see you next week, okay?
Absolutely, man. All right.
Remember to follow Craig Simulating Games on Twitch, and make sure that you and your friends follow Bucks in the Basement, found everywhere podcasts can be found, and always at bucksinthebasement.com. Bye-bye, everybody.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they